What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone.
Hey everybody, this is Michael Damian, also known as Danny on The Young and the Restless. And make sure to check out my film that I directed, Flicka Country Pride, starring Clint Black and Lisa Hartman Black. It's out now on DVD and Blu-ray at all Walmart and Sam's Clubs. And don't forget to listen to Dr. Gina. Just so you know, she's a Closet Case Young and the Restless fan. It's our little secret.
I really do wish that Michael Damian would not tell my secrets on my promos. That's just, you know, it's embarrassing. And I don't need people to know that I watched one episode of Young and the Restless, I think, maybe a month ago. I was in a hotel or something and I saw it on and I just stopped. I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder who's still there. But I bet before that I hadn't watched it in years, but I will be watching it May 18th when he is on again as Danny with Cricket. And what a fun time we had yesterday with him on air and also with the Lieutenant Governor Clayfish. We're going to play those interviews for you again today. But one of the things we look forward to is having Lyda Loudon on the show. She is the national founder of Tea Party Youth. She works in coordination with Tea Party students, and we love having her in studio. Lyda, this is our last time together on air in Birmingham, Alabama, for the foreseeable future. Welcome to the show, and just tell me what you think about it. It's been a fun ride, huh?
It has been so fun and such an honor. I've been stoked about every guest we've had, and it's so fun working with you and learning from you and practicing all this on air and talking to people and going to events and hearing them say, oh, I get my kids together to listen to your segment every week. It's so nice to meet you. You know, that's all so exciting and so fun. And I love Birmingham and the people in Birmingham. So, yeah, I'm just very honored and very appreciative of the time that we've had.
Now, the thing people keep asking me is that when you move to California, are you going to say, when people say, where are you from? That's always an interesting thing to answer. I'm used to saying St. Louis, but I'm not really from St. Louis. I was really born in the Ozark Mountains, lived in Jefferson City, the capital city, most of my life. And then, you know, of course, lived in St. Louis and now am in Birmingham. What do you think, girlfriend? How are we going to answer that question?
Well, you can always just say I'm from heaven. People really like that. And then, and then that really simplifies it because they don't really say anything else after that.
They just kind of look at you confused.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say I hang out in Starbucks a lot since I know that you do.
I'm from Starbucks, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things that you and your movement have focused on, and we actually did a spot on this on Politichicks TV, is this idea of this amendment. People are very excited about this. This is catching on. Of you all stating to the government that, you know, you don't have a right, constitutionally speaking, you don't have a right to tax us without representation. And since you yourself are only 16 years old and most of your friends are in that same age bracket and haven't even been able to vote, and yet this administration has been taxing you and your future now for about 3.5 years, what do you think are the chances of that amendment actually getting on in the Constitution?
You know, it's going to be really hard. It's going to take a lot of work, but you know, I have a dedication. The people who I work with, the other volunteers, the young people who help me out in all the Tea Party youth efforts and Tea Party student efforts all have a lot of drive to get it through. So we're going to work on it, and we're hoping that with a lot of prayer and some time, we can save our generation from being taxed out of house and home. So
what is the current amount? I remember hearing $250,000 per student. I'm sorry, per child born and unborn right now for the foreseeable future. Have you heard a number since that one, or is that still pretty much the standing working number, since we really have no idea how many bajillions of dollars we're actually dealing with?
That's the last number that I heard, but you really don't have to do much to be overwhelmed by the amount of debt that we have by anything else other than just looking at the debt clock and watching it go up by like $100 a second, a millisecond, and just, what was it, like $15 trillion now?
and ridiculous, insane amount. Now, I said one of the things I wanted to ask people about today was the May Day yesterday, where the occupiers, the Occupy terrorists, as I call them, because that's what they are, amounting to, what, 6,000 arrests now, multiple deaths. They have to have rape-free zones. They are wreaking havoc all over our country right now. I would say pretty incoherently. I'm not sure exactly what they want, but they're painting themselves as, you know, sort of the youth movement, the current youth movement. You certainly don't fit in that. You've been to a lot of tea parties. What do you see, Lida, as the primary difference between the Tea Party and the occupiers?
I'm not sure that the occupiers know exactly what they're talking about or what they're doing. They're kind of chilling, and Tea Partiers, we're not chilling. We're serious. We're out there, you know, trying to make things seriously happen in a peaceful, diplomatic, way. And that's the difference between the occupiers and the Tea Partiers. We are honest. We know what we're fighting for, and we're driven and peaceful.
So as you go forward and you're talking to I'm not talking about Tea Party students or Tea Party youth. I'm talking about just your regular run of the mill. You went to a school that was not religious, that was really a prep school of sorts, had people from every walk of life. What are those sort of people, what are they picking up from the Tea Party versus Occupy movement? Where are they talking about their allegiances being in this next election or that of their parents?
Thanks so much to the media, a lot of the media, for making it look like the Tea Party movement is very much like the Occupy movement. A lot of my peers do see those as very similar, and they're really not. And if people would go to a Tea Party and then go to an Occupy meeting, whatever you want to call it, powwow kind of thing, they would see that it's not a similar situation. It's not a similar effort. But it is, my peers do probably see it that way from the ones I've talked to. Like, oh, the Occupy movement is a lot like the Tea Party movement. No, it's not.
Not so much. All right, I want to get straight to your guest, Liz Santorum, because she, like you, is used to being in the limelight as a daughter. She had really baptism by fire in this last presidential primary election. Welcome to the Dr. Gina Show and Tea Party Youth Corner. Liz Santorum, how are you today?
Oh, Dr. Gina, it's so good to be on the show and to talk to you again. How are you doing?
We're doing really well. And I'm going to turn it right over to Lida because I know she's got some questions we want to hear your answers to. Thanks for being on the show again.
Of course. She was so sweet. It's great to talk to her. What an awesome young woman you have.
Thank you.
You are so sweet, Elizabeth. I'm so glad to be talking to you. I just want to give everyone a brief on what you're up to. She went to the University of Dallas and took a year off of her college education to help her dad in his campaign. And she was the top surrogate speaker requested across the country for her dad throughout the campaign. And she worked on things like volunteers did, grassroots coordinating and phone banking and that kind of stuff. And Elizabeth, I have a real respect for you because I know a lot of the challenges and the opportunity as well that comes with the position of being somewhat in the limelight, representing your parents who are in politics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you've handled all of that so gracefully and are a true inspiration to me for that reason, and I'm so honored to have you on today.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. That's so kind of you. But, you know, this, like you said, baptism by fire was really being thrown in there and having to kind of learn as you go, and it really was a dramatic learning curve through the year of just, you know, becoming a better speaker and knowing how to, you know, deal with crowds, even, you know, grassroots organization. And really at every level, it was neat to see how all of this worked, you know, because I was, you know, my dad's daughter and able to be in the office and see everything from the, you know, sign waving to phone banking to surrogate speaking. It was really an incredible broad experience.
Is there anything you did that happened on the campaign trail, maybe a way you reacted or a job you took over that you wish you had done differently at some point in the campaign?
I remember when I first started out giving speeches, I used to write down everything. And it was one of the worst things I could have done, I think, because it made me really nervous. Because, you know, when you have something typed out and you've, you know, stressed over every word and, you know, all of that, then it just isn't, it's incredibly frustrating to get up there and try and deliver a speech naturally in front of a group when you've had it, you know, all premeditated. And, you know, my dad gave me some great advice one day. He said, just tell them what's on your heart. And from then on, I kind of just would get up there and, you know, try and have some structure in my mind, but would just talk. And I found that, you know, I was able to connect with people a lot better, and it was just a better speech all in all.
So what's next for you after the campaign's over and you've done a beautiful job of representing your dad and your whole family, and what a young person being politically active should be, in my opinion, at least beautifully, what's next on your agenda? What are you working on, and where can we expect to see you?
Well, you know, I have a couple projects that I'm looking at. I have a guest blog position at hotair.com. I actually posted my first blog the other day, and will be contributing to Ed Morrissey's show as often as I can. And then working on maybe doing some speaking, and I was contributing on a couple of networks last week. So we'll see how that goes. But I definitely want to stay active when I'm back at school, whether it's, you know, blogging or commenting on shows. But I would like to kind of hold myself accountable in that way, to making sure I know what's going on in the world as a college student. And, you know, so my involvement will hopefully continue to stay very, very much active.
So I'm going to ask you the question that I always get asked as a politician's kid. Can we expect you to see you in politics in the near future?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, everyone always does ask me that. And, you know, I have no idea. I think that, you know, my parents taught me the way that people should view politics, is service to your country. And so I think that if I ever needed to serve my country that way, then, you know, that's something I would consider. But as for now, I'm happy to be back to going to college and just living as a normal
human again. Awesome. We want you, Liz, to give a big shout out to your sister Bella and to your entire family. Aww. Give them our love. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for checking in with us on the Dr. Gina Show with Light Aloud and Tea Party Youth. Liz Santorum, all the best to your family. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gina and Lida. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, stay tuned. More of the Dr. Gina Show right after this.